what's to come. Orders, singers, musicians to come. Not today is to justify me and answer what I am for, but you, a new brood, native, athletic, continental, greater than before known. Arouse, for you must justify me. I myself but write one or two indicative words for the future, but I advance a moment only to wheel and hurry back in the darkness. I am a man who, sauntering along without fully stopping, turns a casual look upon you and then averts his face, leaving it to you to prove and define it, expecting the main things from you.
Good evening. You've made it through the work week. You've made it to Friday night. You've made it to the show that is carefully crafted by three madmen for your enjoyment. It's World Poetry Open Mic. I'm your humble host, J. Todd Underhill. On my left-hand side, where he belongs, not in the captain's seat, he is Michael Amade.
So I'm busy crafting the last pieces of this show.
Oh.
Give 1 second.
I think you need the belt sander for that.
Oh, no, I left my belt somewhere else.
All right. But he is the carpenter that keeps things running here. Please welcome back, after missing a week, and he was missed, he is the Half Squatch.
Why, thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. It's good to be back.
He's also running for mayor of Studio X.
Right. From Studio X, yes. No, he's actually challenging the incumbent, which happens to be Andy right now.
Well, Andy is a good overseer of Studio X.
Yes, he is. Yeah,
he scares the hell out of anybody who goes in there.
It's true.
Except for me. I'm not scared. You know why we're not scared?
Because you'll eat him.
You and I? Now, we owned that.
Yeah, we did.
We're the reason that Andy is the mayor of Studio X.
Yeah.
We're like the Koch brothers.
Jeez. Really?
Why not?
Local humor.
I'm going to get one political joke in before we descend into the madness that's going to be the presidential and senatorial elections, in which case I will stop watching TV.
Yes.
And we'll not talk about it until they're over.
Sweet.
All right.
Okay.
That being said, we have three sponsors. You saw them on the way in. Good Morning Snore Solution. Check them out. If you've got snoring problems or, hey, you know, we all have loved ones that snore, get them the supplies. It helps them not to snore while they're sleeping, and that way you can get a good night's sleep, they can get a good night's sleep, everybody awakes refreshed, revitalized, and ready for another day.
And let's face it, everybody who's, like, if you sleep, someone who's had a good night of sleep, they're just sexier.
Yeah.
They're just sexier people. It's true.
It is.
Yeah.
That's why I never sleep. Okay, let's move on.
All right. So, next up, we've got naturebox.com. You're going to want to check them out. You want to eat healthy. You want to live longer. You want food that's GMO-free, gluten-free, sugar-free, but it's definitely not free. So you're going to want to check them out. Basically, they've got nuts and trail mix and healthy snacks that basically power writers and artists.
Absolutely. And just make your body look, well, just sexier, you know? Yes. Just make you just all around a sexier person.
Yes. And if you don't know how to be sexy, you can read up on being sexy by getting a book from KNET Books.
Smart people are sexy, too.
Yes. So, KNET Books, you're going to want to, you can basically college level, high school level, any books you need for learning, you can sign up for their service. You can rent the book, read it, return it, and that way you're not stuck trying to sell it back to some book depository.
Yeah, that's totally not sexy.
All right.
Hey, guess what our secret word is of the day?
It's not sexy.
Oh, wait, no.
Someone's been watching Pee Wee's Playhouse too much.
Yes, just a bit. All right. So, that the needs to do being out of the way, you want to call and share your poetry. We want you to call and share your poetry. Hell, we want to hear your poetry. Give us a call, 720-240-9766.
That's 720-240-9766. We'll also have some submissions coming up in the next segment.
Call now. It's sexy. And we're back, and we are in the throes of National Poetry Month. Have you written today? Have you written every day for 10 days? Then you're probably as mad as I am. Anyway, if you have poetry and you want to share it, you're going to want to call during the second segment. We've got 9 of the best lined up for you now. And, wow, what a lineup it is, too.
It's one hell of a lineup. Thanks.
Way to comment on that.
I was just kind of sitting there going, like, yeah, I agree.
What else?
Crap.
Do you
I
say?
Guess I agree.
Yeah.
No. I mean, so I'm looking forward to this. This is kind of our Friday night tradition, something that we all really enjoy, and whatever happens during the week. You know, there's been a lot of crap that happens during the week.
Yeah.
It's kind of good to be able to get here and share things together. And especially during, you know, National Poetry Month.
Oh, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this, though. I know as a guy who writes more prose, I write every day. I write an average of 1,200 to 2,000 words a day.
Yeah. Okay.
But that's also like a prose, like a novelist approach. As a poet, do you find it harder?
No. My problem is because of my lifestyle, making the time to write.
Sure.
And now that my wife knows, hey, he wakes up, he hits the computer, he gets his poem a day done. And I've done other writings, too. I've done a couple blog entries this week that were kind of lengthy. And
nice.
You know, it's just, I think the cowboy's back in the saddle, so to speak.
Ah, you're back in the saddle again.
Back in the saddle again. All right. So, all right, without
this is not a morning show, by the way.
Yeah. No, but we bring morning show attitude to literary radio.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's a tagline.
That is. Now we just need a stupid contest.
Oh, sorry. Had to throw in some sound effects because it was a morning show thing.
Bang!
Misfire. Sorry.
This is not working. All this right. is not. We're not a morning show.
Oh.
We're not
a morning show. All right. So without any further fanfare, please welcome to the show our first poet. She is Lady Anne.
Maybe. If I can figure out where my buttons are. There we go.
Please welcome to the show.
Hello, Lady Anne.
Hey, Lady Anne.
Hello?
Hey, that was quick.
Hi. Hello, everybody.
How are you?
Missed you the whole week.
I know, we missed
everybody
you, too.
Everybody's been writing like mad.
Yes, or mad because we're writing.
All right, well, I'm going to skip all the hellos today. I'll be quick today. I thought that just this once, since it is National Poetry Month, that I would throw one of mine in, and it's kind of like about me. And okay.
What?
And the message behind this poem is that no matter who you are and no matter what you do, you can lose sight of your goals or your dreams or whatever, but you can always find it if you really want it bad enough. So the name of this poem, for the first poem of the night, is called How Lady Anne Lost Her Way, but Found It. Okay? All right, here we go. How Lady Anne Lost Her Way, but Found It. I never planned to lose focus, because when I met him in that bar, everything seemed destination clear, his bedroom never wanting to part. My love for him, unconditional, but his reach was way too far. A love unreturned is more than painful. It makes a sad individual uneasy to follow. It throws the heart into darkness, an unserene place that you wallow. The mental anguish that you feel, the price paid emotional hollow. Lost inside a magnitude of thoughts, need relief from the accruing pain, find escape in the hood on a corner, dealer's home where he reigns. Once drug tried, unable to stop, drug takeover, invincibility feeling gained. Years of using, years of failure, still my heart remains broken. Calamity and devastation rules my life, only postcards received as tokens. Secretly my love never wavered, but no vows will ever be spoken. Updated years of resilience, years of education, my advocacy voice, can you hear the sound? With my passion for the written word, covers all addicts' background. Poetry, prayer, and hope saves even one. My words provide salvation found. Leaving my legacy and installation hope, I am glory bound. Thank you all for tonight.
Nice. Thank you, Lady Anne. You are amazing. That was a great piece.
Thank you so much. That makes me feel better. Well, I might call in on the second half, but I didn't want to. I spent so much time talking last time. But I'm glad that I was first. It's the first time I've gotten to be first, so that was cool.
You know, more people are going to get a chance to be first, and that was requested.
Well, Ellie was always first.
No. She requested to be just queued up in the order that she called.
Oh, okay. Well, I was just glad anyway. But anyway, I'm going to be here for the whole show. So get going, and I hope you all have wizard energy to keep stick it through tonight.
Oh, yeah, we've got wizard energy. We're going to stay alive for this.
Okay, I'll be here.
We'll talk to you soon, Lady Anne. That was Thank Lady Anne on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. All right, and that's it. Wizard energy. We got it going
yes.
for poetry, National Poetry Month.
It's good and, stuff.
I thought it was rather honorable. I mean, you know, for a long time we've been booting Ellie to the top because she's kind of a nice way to just get the wheels rolling on the show.
Yes, it was.
But then she's like, no, I want to go in the order that I call. And I thought that was very selfless of her.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
So, please welcome the selfless one. She is from Pennsylvania. Her name is Ellie. Ellie, are you there? Hello? And Ellie?
Let me try something.
Ellie.
Huh?
She seemed to be having phone problems.
We're okay.
We're going to put her on hold for a moment. Maybe she stepped away.
Oh. Ellie? No? Okay. We'll put her on hold.
All right. So we're going to skip down next in order. Please welcome... From Michigan, he is Dennis. Dennis, are you there, my friend?
Yes, I am. Hello, World Poetry Open Mic, and happy Poetry Month.
Yes, and are you celebrating in the usual form and just writing like a madman?
I am not writing as much as I'd like, but I did host a poetry night just a few days ago and had a great turnout. And was real happy with that.
Nice. And was it a coffee house? Was it at the library? Where were you holding it?
It was at a cultural arts center in my community. And we had, a real good turnout. And we celebrated very, very nicely. We read poems from 10 different famous poets, all born in April.
Nice. That sounds like a great time. I wish I'd been there.
Yeah, I wish you'd been there, too. Well, tonight I have a poem by another great poet. Celebrating National Poetry Month and honoring the poet of the month, I have a poem by Raj Kumar.
Awesome.
The title is Let My Words Speak by Raj Kumar. Let my words gallop like Arabian horses to fight against all opposition. Go anywhere on the globe in the name of economic chain or bondage of supremacy. Let my words garner strength from faith and beliefs, gain speed of wind and light to fight anarchy, injustice, and bring peace among humanity. Let my words cross over seven seas, mountains, ridges, cliffs, to reach the heart of the needy, the poor, insignificant of society, and even out the disparity of wealth. And that is a poem by Raj Kumar.
Very well done. And congrats, Raj, on being Poet of the Month. You earned it. You write fiendishly. And the poems you write are deep, and I really enjoy them. And Dennis, you did him justice on that one.
Yes, and I was my pleasure to read one of his poems. I hope to have one for next week, too. Thank you very much. I'll move on. Let the next poet come up. And I bid you all... good day, and God bless.
God bless you. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. All right. Wow. Shall we duck back and see if we've got Ellie again?
Oh, look, she dropped.
She dropped.
Oh.
Darn it. That's right. Call back during the second segment, Ellie, or if you want to call back next week, we're welcoming that as well.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we're going to keep trucking along. Please welcome, for a second time on our show... From New Hampshire, Jalorian Young. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, welcome back to our show.
Hi, thank you.
And are you celebrating National Poetry Month in any special way?
Well, I've been unusually inspired lately, so I've been writing quite a bit.
Nice. And you're going to share one of your newer ones with us, or are you going to whip out an old one?
Actually, this is one of mine, and it's called Welcome to Hell.
All right.
Okay. Welcome to hell, said the girl with the lei. I'll show you your room. Follow me right this way. The trip isn't long, as I'm sure you'll agree. Now, don't wander off. You stay right here with me. We've plenty of sunshine, but you mustn't bask, and lots of fresh air through your oxygen mask. The hotel is huge, lots of places to roam. Just be sure that you don't step outside of the dome. Within, you're as safe as in your own mother's arms. We have artificial trees and hydroponic farms, but outside you'll last only minutes at most. So relax in the grace of your generous host. As you age, we'll repair you with plastic and spackle. There is nowhere a tear that is too tough to tackle. We'll give you long centuries between death and birth. We'll overextend you, just as we did the earth. Oh, there are no children. It's forbidden to try. The dead ones were lucky. The rest wouldn't die. They're out in the wastelands, twisted and mutant, impossible to tell that they might have been human. Now deadbolt your door, no telling what they might do if given the chance to get in here with you. If you have any needs, give room service a call. They'll fulfill your desires, both the great and the small. We have online access and email if you please. Personal contact is discouraged. It spreads nasty disease. Really small prices to pay, don't you think, for a race that was so very nearly extinct? Technology saved us, but ignored all the regs. Well, you can't make an omelet without breaking some eggs. So welcome to hell. From certain you know that there's no other place on the earth left to go.
That was great.
I like that one.
Thank you.
It brought post-apocalyptic poetry to the forefront of my mind. I liked that. I think that's the first time I've heard post-apocalyptic poetry, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Well, there you go.
I thought it was great. Jalorian, thank you so much. That was great.
Thank you.
That was Jalorian on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Welcome to hell. I thought they were going to talk about my old grade school.
I thought they were going to talk about my ex-fiance.
I thought they were going to talk about my former career.
I thought they were going to talk about your former career.
I agree. They were probably going to talk about your former career. All right. That being said.
It's kind of like Welcome to the Jungle, just, you know, a little bit more badass, a little bit more metal.
It was. It sure did feel like it, too.
Just kidding. All right. Please welcome our next caller. She is calling from New York. Her name is Lorraine.
I can try that again.
Okay.
There we go.
Her name is Lorraine.
Hey. Hi, guys. I just want you to know before I read this poem that I never personally experienced this. I finally got your audio, by the way.
Yeah.
And I had no idea I sounded so New Yorkish. It was awful. It didn't sound like me. Until Mike, I've also mastered skipping baseballs, but okay.
Nice.
Let's go.
You've mastered skipping baseball?
Yeah.
Really? I try to think about baseball as much as possible.
He said he was skipping baseball. Well, you said he was skipping, but I don't know. Something was going on with baseball.
It's easy to skip over a baseball. They're smaller.
Something with baseballs, and you were missing the buttons. Anyhow, this is called the DWI. For those of you who are not familiar with what that stands for, it's not a good thing. Never happened to me, but a couple of my friends, and I'm going by inspiration here.
Okay.
Here we go. There's a marching band inside my head. Right now I wish that I was dead. How many shots did I devour? Now my stomach's feeling sour. What caused this inebriation? What sort of a celebration could possibly make me drink? My face is gone and my clothes stink. How did I get talked into this? And who's that person that I kissed? God knows I was too drunk for sex. Wish I could read this stupid text. Uh-oh, it seems I left my car keys. Can I pick them up now, please? Sure, if I can find my purse. This hangover is getting worse. I'll call a cab, but where's that bar? God, I hope it isn't far. Now I can't locate my shoes. Guess I had way too much booze. I wound up in a barroom fight. Now I'll have to make things right. I'll say I'm sorry. I was wrong. It had to be that jukebox song. I'll never take another shot. I'll definitely avoid that spot. I'm thinking so much clearer now. I'm feeling better. Don't know how. So what are these bars that I see? Am I in jail? Nah, that can't be. I'll make some noise. I'll cause a stir. When someone comes, I'll say, hey, sir, you made an error. I should be home. Don't walk away. I need a phone. And what's that thing you put in here? She looks like Helen, smells like beer. That cot is nasty. I saw a rat. Now someone cursed. Did you hear that? Hey, wait a sec. I need a lawyer. Get me one who's past the bar. No, not that one. You're a riot. Tell me where you parked my car. The end.
I like that.
Not from personal experience, but that sounds
not
pretty accurate. that is my personal experience.
Can you wait a little bit? Yeah.
It does sound pretty accurate.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I'm glad my imagination hit the mark there.
I like
and
that
great
piece.
To be back with you guys, by the way. Really
we're
great.
Glad to have you with us.
Thank you. Talk to you next hour.
Talk to you next hour.
Okay. Bye-bye.
That was Laredo, World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry radio. All right. So, yeah, you know, I got to say, even in the height of my problems with addiction, I only drove under the influence maybe 4 times. And the last time was the kicker for me. Me and a pal of mine went out to Fishing Access in Montana, drank literally all day long, slowly. We weren't hammered or anything like that. And then my friend's like, oh, hey, I've got these pipes that we're going to smoke of marijuana. And then I decided I'm going to drive back to town. Now, I get behind the car. I'm like, oh, I can handle this, blah, blah, blah. Get on the freeway. I think I'm flying down the freeway like Mario Andretti speed. And my friend's like, hey, I'm going to speed up a little bit. I was doing 35 on the interstate.
Well done, sir. Oh, well done.
And, and right then I was like, you know what? I can't do this ever again.
Yeah.
So
I've you go too slow. That's your reason. You know, I can honestly say I've never done that. I've never driven under the influence like that.
You know, the worst I've ever done is driven tired.
You know,
I've actually nodded off.
I've done that.
I've got to say, in the worst of my worst, my driving tired has been more dangerous than my driving under the
influence. I would agree.
Well, I can understand that. So
I can see it. Your driving tired is more dangerous.
Well, no, I got to say,
35 is, you know, pushing it there, buddy.
There was a road trip I took to Montana. I had worked an 8-hour shift, and then I got my wife and daughter in the car, and we're like going to drive to Livingston, Montana. And I don't remember driving between Billings and Livingston. I literally...
That's bad.
...was coming into Livingston going, how did I get here?
No, here's the thing, though. And I know other people listen. We're going to get to that car. Here's the thing that we skipped in the story. He just went over it really quickly. What did you do before you drove that length, that trip?
I worked an 8-hour shift.
Yeah. So what makes someone work an 8-hour shift and plan to drive to Livingston, Montana? We call that the actual problem.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Well, no, I've always done that. To extend my vacation, I just get off work and drive where I'm going, sleep a little bit, and then get up. And so,
yeah.
I've done it to Salt Lake City, but I was wide awake for that one.
We're getting a lot of people who are very excited about bacon in the chat room. No, they're all talking about bacon in the chat room. Barbara Earnshaw just posted a great bacon poem. I hope she reads it tonight.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah.
We'll go into bacon in a little bit. But let's get into the next call.
It's not an after dark. There's no after dark this week. I don't know how much bacon we can talk about.
Well, I'm going to talk about Sunday.
Ooh. Yeah. Bacon on Sunday?
Lots of it.
Shaking bacon?
Shaking bacon. But someone that's every bit as good at poetry as bacon is for food, please welcome from Kentucky, his Philip.
Howdy. How are you folks doing tonight?
Doing good. We're getting off on a little tangents. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, please. Tangent away. I don't mind at all.
You're probably sitting there laughing going, these guys are nuts.
Well, it's good to hear you guys' voices again. I've got about a 40-line poem, and if you're patient with me, I'll do my best to get through it.
Oh, no. Take your time, brother. Enjoy it.
All right. Well, here's the title. I learned to title things from Salvador Dali, so it's a bit long. It's titled, Writ Beside Dawn-Emblazoned Windows, while listening to songs long ago recalled when I wore armor and carried a longbow and iron-hammered arrows.
All right.
All right.
And here it goes. Sirens are disheartened and unrequited, their woeful, lonesome story familiar. Attempted suicides failed were wrecked, all their womanly ambitions and desires passionate. How they'd raise or lower their silk tresses, their licorice lashes feathered into Venus traps that snatch love's disembodied essence from the air, all shamefully overlooked or ignored. These feral figures naked upon shores, mineral hard amidst saltstone cathedrals, wind and tide made hollow structures where their uncivilized dirges echo. Womanly metamorphoses via pearls that were once her opalescent ovaries, transformed they into vengeful angels, rare and raw beauties unrestrained with lyre, lyric, and gorgeous strange voices harmonized into cold, plangent choruses that unmercifully enchant less than 10 out of every 10,000. Languished they with seaweed hair and ocean-moist nude anatomies covetous, pine ever they do for the boy-faced dead who've chased ethereal notes like gods until their own shameless destruction that becomes yet a celebrated line and another haunting seasick verse. Boldly, Odysseus, who must listen if only once to that which is forbidden, Prospero's small, becalmed vessel, untempted as he is able to sublimate as no mortal man or minor deity, vanishes with staff and magic intact beyond horizons made by writer and reader entwined as if lovers. His strong-willed and virile silhouette, eclipsed by distance and aureate sunsets, fancy's eye, this imagined farewell made apocryphal. And there it is.
That one brought to mind Mr. Allen Ginsberg with some of the word choices you used.
Oh, well, I am honored. I certainly enjoy and dig Allen Ginsberg very much so. So I appreciate the comment and compliment. Thank you so much.
I'm telling you, keep writing like that and you're going to have a long career like him.
Oh, well, oh wow, now I'm really blushing. I better run now before I say something embarrassing. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wow, there's Philip learning a lesson we haven't learned yet and escaping while he still has some dignity.
Yes, I throw it all out there, even my dignity.
I throw out my dignity with the bathwater every morning.
So wow. This is for the people in the chat room that are blasting the bacon. After our talk about bacon.
Blasting the bacon?
Hold up. That was awesome. Okay, anyway, go on.
All right. So after our talk about bacon, you and I go out to our post-show wrap-up. And
yeah, man.
I order a side of bacon thinking, oh, they're going to give me one or two strips of bacon. Or
no, they give you a real side of bacon.
They give me like 8 strips of bacon.
Yeah. That's a side?
That he was so excited about this.
Oh, dude, that's like the whole belly.
He was pumped. I know. It's almost like an 8-pack.
I picked up the plate, held it next to my face, and Mike's like, click. It takes my picture.
I did take a picture of him. The thing it's funny, though, is not only was he super excited, but I noticed there was a couple of very beautiful girls sitting next to us, and I could see them starting to eye the bacon.
Yeah.
And start kind of weighing the pros and cons of coming over and talking to us to see if they could get the bacon. I thought, wow, it is an aphrodisiac.
It's all about the bacon.
It's about bringing home the bacon. It's about having the bacon. But I think it also might have something to do with pigs. So I ordered a bunch of pigs, and they're going to be delivered tomorrow morning early.
Nice.
To my house, and I'm going to be raising pigs.
I'm sorry, Michael. I have to break the bad news. Yeah. I don't think it's going to work like bacon works.
You don't think so?
And if you're listening, I'm so sorry.
Well, the thing is that I think the bacon is really going to... It's going to be more of like a loss leader. You know, you get bacon, whatever, but I still have pigs, and pigs are awesome. You know, pigs are pretty cool. So I think this might be a whole new thing for me. Yeah.
All right.
Wow. So, like, that side of bacon wasn't enough. Sunday for Easter, we go out with my grandmother.
What?
And I go and have a sandwich called the Widowmaker. They start with 12 pieces of bacon on this sandwich, peppered bacon.
Why would you do that to yourself?
It was amazing. It had provolone cheese, American cheese, avocado, and I'm like, my wife's like, you're getting stoned on this bacon, aren't you? I'm like, mm-hmm.
Well, we don't actually call that stoned. We call that clogged. It's completely different. Or we could call it stoned, as in a stone of LDL cholesterol.
Yes.
That's my problem.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Heart Plus. Just saying. I'm not a doctor. I don't play one on the internet.
I'm already on the drug.
No, he plays doctor in... Well,
especially when I'm playing Operation.
We still have some poets here.
Oh, wait. Please welcome from Texas, we've got Mariah.
And they call the wind Mariah. That's your cue.
Mariah?
Hello.
Mariah. Mariah. Sorry, go ahead. Hello.
Mariah. They call the wind Mariah.
No, it's, yeah. That's
pretty
it.
Good.
How are you guys doing today?
Oh, we're good. It's been a strange show so far. We've enjoyed it, though.
It's been kind of a weird show.
It has been an interesting show.
I can only imagine what the listeners are enduring. Enjoying.
That's a nice looking picture. The Widowmaker.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, oh, yeah, I did post. My daughter took a picture of the Widowmaker and I posted it online. Yeah.
I want one.
It's awesome how you don't say it's a sandwich if you just refer to it as the Widowmaker and you don't ever refer to it as a sandwich.
I ate the Widowmaker.
Check out the Widowmaker. What's he talking about, man? What is this? I don't know if I want to see this picture.
Oh.
All right. So, do you have poetry to save us from this baking thing? Yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read the one that I was going to read for second segment, but kind of goes with the post-apocalyptic theme.
Oh, we've got a theme going, too.
This is kind of leading up a bit. It's about global warming. Yeah.
All right.
Truth of global warming. Chemical factories sent smoke to the sky, burnt holes in our atmosphere, then blamed it on God. They dumped toxic waste into the ocean, said oops, then repeated the steps in secret. They covered their tracks in oil borrowed from BP so the world wouldn't know who was to blame. Greed is the root cause of evil. Hungry devils raising the temperatures and bringing hell to earth. Because corporate bastards don't realize this land is not their own. It is borrowed. It is sacred. It is holy. This land belonged to God before it was even made, created for the creatures who have roamed for centuries before us. Humanity was made to be humble, but instead the ground has crumbled in our hands and wasted away from neglect. How many species have been wiped out, left only in history books and man-made museums? How many have been hunted down to near extinction, simply to be put on display for profit? When rain begins to burn or stops coming down altogether, how many will point to hell as a culprit? How many will point to the heavens and claim it is a test? How many will see truth hidden behind corporate curtains and oil spills, skating along and selling water for a buck? Maybe if we make a difference now, we won't have to find out. End poem.
Very well done. As always, Mariah, I've come to expect poetic greatness from you, you know? Not like the pressure's on it or anything like that.
Well, I think you're going to enjoy the one that now has for second segment.
Awesome.
Looking forward to it.
Ready.
All right.
All right. That was Mariah on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Mariah, stop laughing. Stop laughing, Mariah.
Because it gets us laughing, and then we go off on another tangent.
See, you know the funny thing is, I never actually laugh. When it sounds like I'm laughing, I'm actually gasping for air in the middle of an anxiety fit.
Is that how that works?
That is. I don't actually ever laugh.
I didn't know your troubles.
I have a lot of troubles, man.
I'm so unsympathetic.
Obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should have your troubles. Anyway.
Hey, if you can tell me how to get this mermaid tail off, because it's too tight and I don't know what's going on. I can't even walk anywhere.
The mermaid tails don't bother me. It's the two shells that you have draped across your chest as a bustier.
Which is funny because he puts it on top of the shirt.
What, you're upset because you don't want to see my nipples? Or you do want to see my
nipples? I've already seen your nipples.
Then what's, dude, I'm wearing this because it's comfortable. And by the way, if I take this off, and you didn't know this, there's holes cut out in my shirt. So I've got it. I'm doing this for a PG-13 rating in this radio show.
All right.
So guys,
we do need to keep it PG-13.
You need to not judge me. Okay.
Okay. I'm not judging you.
And please help me get these off because I really need to go to the bathroom.
You can't judge a man until you've swum a mile in his fins.
Or until you've helped him pull off a mermaid tail. Merman. Merman.
All right. So please welcome to our show, calling from Connecticut. She is Barbara Arantru. So, please welcome to our show. Barbara, are you there?
She is Barbara Arantru. Hello, guys.
Hello, how are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I'm writing poetry like a fiend.
Nice. It tis the month for that. Now, I got to say, the local music station I listen to on the way to, we have two very active months for me. Not only is it National Poetry Month, but it's Jazz Month for that station, too. So they're playing all the jazz hits.
Sorry. I'm laughing at what Michael just wrote on the chat room.
Oh.
Way to go, Michael. Way to distract the poet.
I'm sorry. I was just responding.
All right.
Do I need to fill people in? No, I don't need to fill people in.
No.
Not yet.
If you need to know, you should be in the chat room.
Yeah, exactly. Right. You should be in the chat room if you want to know what that was all about. Barbara, do you have a poem for us?
Yes, I do. I think I'll read to you the last one I wrote.
All right.
Which is written to a prompt on... I always write to prompt in April. I write for Poetic Aside's Poem a Day. And it's a challenge, and if your poem gets picked, you win a spot in their anthology. But I don't know if my poem will get picked. But anyway, he gave us the prompt of how, with dash, 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 as our title. So I wrote, How Does Love Start? Love begins like a tiny drop falling from a leaf. It's a spark you never knew lived in you, coming alive for the first time as a newborn, as open and raw as a baby, eager to push forward. And its energy increases, pulsing through your body and brain, flicking switches you never thought you had, as it flies merrily around and sprinkles sparkles in your heart that radiate to all parts through your veins and arteries they course until they reach your mouth and you smile. And yearn for your lover's smile, and linger on the thought of those lips covering yours, and your body doesn't behave. It keeps pushing for more and more touches, and those sparkles leap into your eyes when you see your lover. And your eyes refuse to leave your lover's face for fear of never seeing it again, for love has the mind of a toddler and must be fed, until you are so filled to the brim with desire, and sparkles fly everywhere, as you feel the sap as if you were touched by magic, and suddenly transformed into an all-consuming creature, eager for only one thing, your lover and their touch.
Nice one. I hope that gets picked for the anthology as well.
Well, I hope so. I would like that.
For young poets that have not heard of that poetry site, can you give it out one more time so people can go get the prompt and start on their national poetry?
It's called Poetic Asides. You go to Poetic, you just put it in Google, Poetic, P-O-E-T-I-C, Asides, A-S-I-D-E-S, and it's a blog from Writer's Digest, and you go there, and it says you get your prompt. You can go back to day one, or you can start right at day 10 or 11 tomorrow, and just you click on there, it gives you the prompt, and you scroll down to the comments, and you have to become a member. You just register, and then you just start writing your comments on the blog.
Nice.
And they have hundreds, sometimes 1,000 comments.
Wow.
So, you know, people do comment on your work, but more times out of, you know, they don't. But I would like to read you the poem that I wrote about bacon, if I could. It's tiny.
It's small. Michael's giving us the go-ahead on that one.
Yeah, I'll take responsibility for this, Barbara.
All right.
And I was actually egged on to do this by Mike Mercer. So
egged and bacon?
And bacon and Mariah.
Yes, and it was all because of your photo. Okay.
All right.
The bacon.
Ode to bacon. For years you were a crime for me to taste. You, and then the wall lifted, and at last I smelled your intoxicating fragrance drifting into my nostrils like perfume from my stomach. And then I saw your crisp strips on my plate and bit into the ecstasy of your delicious and fatty goodness. And it was love forever for the bacony flavor only you can ever have.
Nice.
Okay.
But I think it's a good thing to say that poem's about bacon.
Yes.
Ahead of
yes.
Time.
I would like to know that poem's about bacon.
Yes, it's about bacon.
Barbara, thank you very much. Are you calling back for the second segment?
Yes, I will.
We are looking forward to it, Barbara.
Okay, guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you. That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. Now, she mentioned...
Mm-hmm.
There's something called Writer's Digest.
Yes.
And there's a magazine called Reader's Digest.
Yeah.
I think we should buy both of them.
And make it Readers them. And Writers?
No.
Make the writers write for the readers?
Buy both of them and put them together and just call it Digest.
Whoa. And then we can have a whole food section.
Yeah.
About Brainchild. Bacon. Brainchild. I just love that statement. Just be walking down a dark alley, suddenly turn around and go, wait. You have playing cards? Do you have a gun?
Yeah.
Do you have a clown costume?
Yeah.
Do you have a Holocaust cloak?
Of course.
Of course. Who doesn't?
I got it from Max's.
And do we have a wheelbarrow?
Well, I left it out by the albino, I think.
We have a bag.
Brainchild!
Sorry.
So, wrapping our setup by request, please welcome from the Poet State, Michigan, he is Chris.
Wrapping our setup by request,
please
welcome.
Hello.
Michigan.
Hello, guys.
Hey, welcome to our show.
Thanks. Anyway. National Poetry Month, huh?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Live for it. In fact, in my world, every month is National Poetry Month.
I'm sorry, Ellie dropped off.
I am, too.
I do hope she calls back.
I hope she calls back for the second segment. I'd like to hear some of her work tonight.
Oh, God, yes. And Lady Anne put together a good one. That was kind of nice. The rest of the crew was pretty good, although the singing was not your usual.
Oh, just wait for later.
A little shaky. Yeah.
Hallway, pale dead moon in a sky streaked with gray. Human kindness overflowing. And I think it's going to rain today.
Nice.
Yeah. Semperfi to those that know, and good eve to all the others near. Sometimes you know a person, and sometimes you remember things no one else ever will. A Connecticut Yankee, I spoke with a knight, brave and bold, with dragons to fight and slay, fair maidens to rescue, kingdoms to take and rule. Proud. God, he was proud. All the things he was going to do, places to go, sights to see, people he knew or would know. Thoughts just raging in and through his mind, his heart. Such a soul, man, such a soul. A future, a life, a reason. For living, for being, for reaching beyond his present. All this and more. He spoke with such passion, such light and fire of simple things. And times when life was black and white, meanings were allowed, feelings, even those, were right to have and hold. He spoke with strength, a deep devotion within, to what would be, how it would be, as he saw it. A place of gentleness, heart, caring, and so much else in this, our world. I saw him taken in my night. Not a sound, nor star marked his passing. Not a breath of wind, not even a tear of memory. I've lived to see his dream unfold as time passed swiftly by. Fears and tears. The gray-scaled living, broken hearts, bodies, minds, and lives. All the missing, all the reaching and drawing back empty fingers. I wish he'd had his chance to cry, as I have. And
wow.
Great piece.
And that's why I was last.
Uh-huh.
In that segment.
I liked it.
That was great. No, it totally was a payoff. Made sense.
Good call.
And I hope to give him the next one.
Yeah.
We hope to hear from you in the next segment.
We'd love it.
It should be interesting.
Yes. That's
what and they call the wind
nice.
Get you then.
Hey. Talk to you later.
Thanks,
that was Chris.
Chris
on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
Man, he always brings it, doesn't he? Yeah, he just does. Like everybody else who's called in, too. I mean, it's just really solid stuff.
Different styles, different ways of doing things, but man, we have some of the best poets calling our show. We do. Yeah. So I'm going to be doing some of the ones that I've written so far this month. I've written 10 poems in 10 days. Each one is entered into a contest, so I'm actually using like contest prompts and that sort of thing. This is one that was kind of a challenge. It was about mythological creatures. And no, I didn't do the half squat.
Oh. That was, you saw him being so excited from. Just then. Okay. You see that?
Yeah. They had a list you had to choose from. But the rules are the title had to be your mythological creature, but in the body you couldn't use that name at all.
Oh, right on.
So, you know, I sat there and weighed my options, and I chose Goblin.
Okay.
All right. So, Goblin. The sprite's laughter echoes off the walls, well within the mountain's hollowed halls. As he walks around the gleaming hoard, gems and jewels and golden sword, a fortune amassed through cunning theft, this evil imp is dexterous and deft. Sleeping by day, stealing by night, and should you catch him, be ready to fight. Dwarvish demon, embodiment of sin, lurks in the darkness with sickening grin, and you awaken upon the dawn and find your golden jewelry gone, you will know you have been had by this gnome that it has gone bad, so lock your treasures away safe and sound anywhere this villain can be found.
Nice. That's the half squatch.
And you know why I picked Goblin, right? the game we used to play.
With all the goblins. Right.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Well, see, it's interesting because your goblin laugh was a lot like the leprechaun laugh from the leprechaun
movies. Goblins and leprechauns are very distant cousins.
Okay, I have distant cousins that sound nothing like me.
I'm just kidding.
I'm really not understanding this. There's something kind of racist going on here.
Yes, it's against goblins.
And leprechauns. Against mythological creatures. They have rights, too.
Now we're going to get hate mail from the Mythological Creatures Union.
You don't want them to get mad. In Iceland, they actually have fairy consultants still.
I know.
Yes.
So we might get letters. As they should. As they should. Moving on to a submission. Yes. We have from Steve, I think it's Janke, or Jank.
Jinky?
J-A-N-K-E.
All right.
And he has a short message here. He says, I wondered if I could send you a poem for my book. I'm way too nervous to do a reading. I went to Vietnam in 1970 as a patrol dog handler. And this poem is about spending the last day home before shipping out. I just turned 20 years old and had just gotten married. It's called Last Day Home. That day was so quiet, quiet and still, in spite of many people around, until it was time to leave for the airport ride. My mom wept, but tried her emotions to hide. She was quiet, all so quiet that afternoon, but now tears fell as our leaving was soon. We said goodbye at the gate inside. She buried her face and could not hide. Her sadness was bitter. Loss of a son going off to war. I turned to watch just once more. It seemed my buddy also shed a tear as we talked about how it was only a year. Then he said something I will never forget. You know, we may never see them again as we board this jet. You're crazy, I said as defiantly as I could. Yet deep inside, the reality suddenly hit me. Bill, you could be right. That was called Last Day Home from Steve Jank, or Jenky. And he has a book, although I don't know the title of the book. I'll try to get that information in case anybody's interested.
Yeah, or Steve, if you're listening and you heard that, just post a link to your book on the Facebook page for World Poetry Open Mic.
Absolutely.
Or you could send it to us and we'll post it for you too as well.
Or you can type it in our blog. I've seen them in there.
There you go.
Ooh. Or not our blog, our chat room. My apologies.
Yes, yeah. You can do that as well.
All this technology around me confuses me.
Right. So if you want to submit like Steve did, you're going to want to go to our contact form on our webpage, copy and paste there. That way we can use your submission. It proves that you've given us permission to use it. Also, if you have an audio submission, because I got contacted today by Pam Schwetz. She's got a couple. I said send the MP3 to our email address, which is worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com. And that way we can prove to the powers that be that we have permission to use that track as well. And we've had other people do it. David Padgett's done it, and Paul Fries. No.
I can't remember.
Bill Fries.
Okay.
So just send your MP3s to worldpoetryopenmic@gmail.com, and we can play that on the air as well. If we get inundated, we're going to have to be very selective. This show is actually founded around the live read, but we will take occasional recorded submissions. That being said, I'm going to do a poem that I wrote. I chose an interesting title for it because it really can be taken two different ways. This is a poem that I wrote called Cycling. And here it goes. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this blessing and curse. Most of the time, it's not a bother. This affliction of which I write my verse. The comedy and tragedy played out from moment to moment. Two sides lurking inside of me, swinging between laughter and torment. Mania makes me the fool. Depression makes me run and hide. And at times it can be such a useful tool. Others, I feel quite empty inside. A battery with positive and negative, constantly changing my polarity. Giving to the world all I have to give, each moment of sadness and hilarity. Extra energy to run this crazy life, I feel like I might never sleep. Depression accentuates pain and strife, a victim of the hours that I keep. At times I feel like I'm on top, others I feel my life is unfurled. A cycle that seems to never stop, but I wouldn't change it for the world.
I thought that was about, you know, bicycles.
Same here. I was getting ready and
it's like a bike race.
Yeah,
I like the.
I'm glad you guys took the time to hear the poem out before you judged it.
Yeah, no, I like the cyclical nature of that.
It was like he was pedaling past the words.
Wow.
Yes.
I knew that was going to be the thing that tanked it.
Yeah.
Hey, well done. No, what wonderful one, man.
It was a really good poem. I do enjoy that.
And last night I found myself in like a bipolar support group just by fluke, and I was like, wow. And my wife's like, are you going to go back? And I'm considering it, but who knows.
How was it? Was it good?
It was good. It was a good experience. I mean, there's, you know, you got to admit to having a problem while you're there. It's almost like a 12-step program, I figured.
I could see.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. Well, I mean, I figure with bipolar support groups, it's either really good or really bad. There's not much in the middle.
Wow.
That's funny.
Wow.
No, actually, you know, there was a moment there that I thought that I should stand up. I was like, hi, I'm Jay Todd, and I'm bipolar, and it's been exactly 140 days since I went off on somebody and got thrown into Slammer. But I didn't. So.
Well, that was good of you. Yeah.
All right. So that does it for this segment, right?
You know, absolutely, yeah. Right. It's time to move down to the next segment.
So we're going to start segment two. You're going to want to call. If you've been calling, and I've seen a couple of new callers and a gentleman from Arizona, you're going to want to call now, 720-240-9766. If you've never called our show before, give it a try. We want to hear your voice.
We really do. We're not as scary as it sounds, and I don't think that we sound that scary anyway. 720-240-9766.
Call now. Pineapple! All right, so you're listening to World Poetry Open Mic. That was my safe word, by the way.
Pineapple!
Strangely, pineapple. Get over here, I am whipping a pineapple.
Hmm.
We might need to, if we're going to keep down this pineapple coconut route, we might as well choose new safe words.
Hmm. Some rum, we could have ourselves a pina colada.
I like to say ramen. Ramen noodle soup.
Ramen noodle soup. That's your safe word?
Yep.
All right.
Usually comes out to like, say.
No one can mistake that for anything.
I can. It sounds like
whiskey, whiskey,
whiskey, whiskey.
All right.
Why are you saying that's weird? Why am I saying what's weird?
Oh no, not that.
Sorry, I couldn't help it. I got him on it because he made me watch it.
I know. All right. So we've got 10 of the best lined up for you again. They've been reshuffled. They're in a new order. We've got a couple of new callers this segment. Let's go ahead and get to the poets. Please welcome from New York, she is Lorraine.
Lorraine, sorry.
Hey.
Hey, welcome back to our show.
Well, thank you. You know I posted this, but those Sunday musings, I'm going to send it out because we're all masters of the language. Why is it one goose, two geese, and not one moose, two meese? I could never figure that out.
Because meeses actually are chased by cats.
No.
Okay, here's one for you, Jay Todd. Why do cows wear bells and bulls don't? Ah.
Mm. Why?
See? Gotcha.
Because their horns don't work.
Hey, female cows can have horns.
But they don't have horns, do they?
Oh, yeah, they do.
Yeah, they do. Actually, you have to cut them out. You're right.
Trust me.
You're right. Their horns don't work. I love that. Oh, I love that. And the bullhorns do. That's great. A bullhorn. Of course.
Well, you know
what? That's why it's called a bullhorn.
You know what's really cool? I love the fact that we have livestock education as part of this show.
That was something we planned when we were doing a literature show, yes.
To be on the show? Really?
Yeah.
That was actually in our mission statement.
We were actually going to do World Poetry Open Mic, your source for infotainment.
I remember, so we did an event a couple of years ago. Do you remember this?
Yes,
we did.
We
were with KZKO, and we did it for autism awareness was part of our yes. thing. Yes. And the radio station at the last minute came. No, this was true. At the last minute, this the radio station sales manager comes to us and goes, we have a sponsor. But what she does is she makes bicycle wear that you'll see when you drive by, and it reminds you to watch out for wildlife so you don't just hit them because you're being negligent. Can we make it about that too? And I'm like, so about autism and wildlife not hitting wildlife? I'm like, no, it's for autism awareness, not ADHD, okay?
Yes.
But I feel like we get sucked into these things in the show sometimes.
I'm sure she's still talking about that moment, though. You know, I mean, It's something to to remember you guys by. And you're going to go down in history anyhow.
But. Well, she
well, thank you.
She drank a little bit. I don't know how much she remembers, but hey, it was a good night.
Whatever it was. It was better than nothing. So I'm going to go with a somber poem, guys. Sorry.
All right.
I'm calling this Sunset. I wrote this the other day. I'm sitting here quietly as the sun sets, forgetting things I shouldn't forget. Time so precious, so sublime, have left me wondering, where has it gone? What was that song? Where are the memories, the anniversaries, the celebrations, those happy days? Where are the faces that I can't place? The ones I should know, where did they go? The past didn't last, and the present is frightening. In the calm sky at twilight, I think I see lightning. I'm not sure why, but I want to cry. I feel lost, tossed aside by a storm I didn't see coming. What is it that's happening to me? I'm so alone. Where's my home? What took all of this away? I've forgotten how to pray. And so I sit with vague regrets, watching the sun as it sets. Thank you, guys.
Absolutely.
Thank you, thank you.
Thank you again for sharing on our show. I don't get to express how blessed we are that everybody's calling our show and sharing their poetry. I want to say thank you for being a part of it.
Well, it's my honor. And I want to say next week I have one in my book. It's called The Three Amigos. It's about you guys. I'll read it next week.
Is it about? Nice. Is it about?
You're supposed to shoot up. We both fired up.
I like can't wait to read it.
With a six-year-old.
Listen, have a good week.
Thank you, Lorraine.
Talk to you soon. Thanks again.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
That was Lorraine on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. The Three Amigos. How fitting is that?
It is. You know, and the thing that's
all
awesome,
too fitting.
I don't know
us.
If you guys know this. When I'm, because I spend a lot of time at work alone. Apparently, that's the only only thing society will let me. A job where you're by yourself most of the time. And so I kind of try to emulate in my lonely moments the singing bush from The Three Amigos.
You succeed quite often, too.
Just sitting by myself. Hey ho, blow the man down. Give me some time to blow the man down. Goodbye, ladies. Goodbye, ladies.
Because if you ever watch the movie, the bush never stops singing.
Never stops.
All right.
It's brilliant.
He's a delicate. Sorry, I couldn't help it.
You could. You think he could just sing the song that doesn't end over
12-year-olds? Do you realize I'm trying to put on an international poetry show with 2 12-year-olds?
And you know what's even funnier? One of those 12-year-olds is actually running the poetry show.
Yeah, that hasn't escaped my mind either. Wow.
Oh.
All right, let's get back to the poetry.
Okay,
we have a new caller, guys.
We do.
Yes, from California. Please welcome to the line, Gregory.
Hi, guys. I'm so glad to be able to join you guys. I have this little poem. It's basically for little children, I think, but it speaks about the inevitability of things.
All right.
And the name is Bizzybong.
All right.
Zing-zong, Bizzybong, H2O on the shore. A timber or a bucket could do no chore. Zing-zong. Wave your hips to the shore, Bizzybong. Make no difference if you go to or fro. The sun will dry your toes. Sing-song. The turtles will not stop for it's a go. They hatch are on their own to the morning show. Bizzybong. Buzzards ahead look for easy go. Sing-song. Bizzybong. That's the end.
All right, Gregory, I've got to ask you, because we asked this of all our new callers, how did you hear about our show?
Actually, I just started publishing some of my stuff, not really publishing, but getting it out, and I had gone to All Poet, which is a website, and they had a link to you guys' site, so that was great.
Awesome. Thank you very much, and please don't stop calling our show. I really like that piece.
Thank you very much.
And if you liked what you experienced, go ahead and tell your friends to join us next week.
I sure will. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Gregory on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. And that's your homework assignment. Aside from, you know, your normal National Poetry
Month
duties of writing one poem a day, I want you to contact one friend a day. Let them know about our show. You do poetry. You've got to know several people that are doing poetry. Invite them to join us next Friday.
You're kind of like Wyatt Earp, you know? You're like, you tell them hell's coming, and I'm, or whatever. And then you're like, tell all your friends about me. Isn't that in Tombstone? Doesn't he do something like that?
Kurt Russell, yeah.
Well, he plays Wyatt Earp. He's not playing Kurt Russell.
No. Actually, I do a really good impersonation of Wyatt Earp impersonating Kurt Russell.
What's that?
To the other one.
What does it sound like?
I don't know. I'm just making
You're just making it up.
Yeah.
I see. Watch. Yeah. I'm going to do the cup gunfighting thing, really.
This is what's called great radio, people.
Be your Huckleberry.
Guys, well, it's provocative. It makes people sit there and listen and go, what's he doing right now?
Man, that comes provocative.
It makes people think.
It's provocative. It gets people going.
Nobody knows what it means.
Not even him.
All right.
All right. But that's a whole other show called Radio Angry, hosted by our half squatch here. All right. Please welcome to the line for a second time tonight, our longest supporter. He is Dennis.
Hello. How you doing?
We're doing good. Having I'm too back. Much fun.
Yes, I see that. Well, it's good that we're having quite a variety show tonight.
We've got singing. We've got comedy. Oh. Well, okay, poor comedy. We've got poetry. We've got everything. Infotainment.
Wait until Studio X happens afterwards.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It's always great to hear new callers call in, too. Yes. We would really like that.
It is.
I'd like to share a poem with you I wrote recently for a friend. He recently lost his mother, and this is the poem I wrote in his behalf. The title is Saying Goodbye. Saying goodbye is never easy. Being separated from loved ones, dear. Relying on precious memories. In our hearts, we hold them near. Before their deaths, we watch them fade. From vitality to sad decline. Although we don't know or understand, there appears to be some plan divine. God, give us grace and strength today, that we may find a way to cope. As we honor our dear departed, may your love lead us to hope. The end.
Wow, I hope your friend was very honored. That was a really, really good piece.
Well, thank you, and I'm glad I was able to share that. Let's continue with the poetry, thank you so much for this format. We really appreciate what you guys do, and God bless you all.
God bless you, Dennis. Thank you. You have no clue how much I needed to hear that tonight. Thank you. That was Dennis on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of poetry.
There, plop.
We covered this a few weeks ago. No matter what you do, there's going to be haters, and there's going to be people that try to drag you down.
Oh, always.
And I've experienced a few of those this week, and I am not going to be deterred. If you think you can put out a better product than what we're doing, go absorb the cost of the equipment and run your flag up the pole and see if it flies. I welcome the competition.
Well, we don't compete. We don't compete.
There's no competition.
No, we literally don't compete. That's the thing. But I think the deal is, too, is the haters thing, it's going to happen, man. And the funny thing is have you ever met someone who's like a super fan of something you're doing, but like to an inordinate degree that makes absolutely no sense at all? You're like, you're way too into this. There's been a few times where it's like, there's no justification for how into it they really are.
Okay.
And you're like, well, that's cool. But you realize it has nothing to do with you. It has something to do with their connection to whatever the material is. It actually isn't you, right? It's the material and them.
They have no connection with me?
Listen to J. Todd's Existential Crisis.
Sorry.
But the thing is that it has nothing to do with you as a person. It has something to do with their image of it and everything. Mm-hmm. haters are the same way. It's like the people, like the girls who hear an album that you put out, like whatever, yeah. and they're in love with you, and then you meet them and you're like, no, that's not me at all. It's your association with the songs, and that's cool. But someone who hates me for those songs, it's the same distance. It's not about me at all. And even if it is really about you, come on. You know, I mean, one day, if you want, I actually had a hate letter sent to me by a very prominent religious organization in Colorado Springs because literally I was young and moved around too much on stage. And I do have it framed, but I might actually, maybe one day, if you guys want to, I'll bring it in and read it.
You should read it on here.
Yeah.
It's kind of fun. Let's just put it this way. The same group that dislikes Tinky Winky and SpongeBob.
And we're not going to say their name, but they focus on the family a lot.
I have a legitimate hate letter from them. So
okay,
all right.
Without any further ado, we're going to go down south to Georgia.
Down south.
Please welcome back to our show. She is Jenny.
Hey.
Hey,
welcome
back.
I'm here.
How are you?
Yeah, I wrote a poem for last week, but my sister had a birthday party, and I couldn't stay up that night, so yeah.
Unacceptable.
Right. I'm here this week with a new one.
All right.
Well, it's not new, but it's semi-new. New-ish. It's not published, I'll tell you that.
Is it new
to
you?
It still has that new poem smell to it, right?
Do your poems smell weird, Jenny? Because, I mean, I know J-Todd's does.
They smell like tears sometimes, I'll have to admit that.
There you go.
That's most of my life. And my clothes, my car, everything smells like tears.
His pillow smells immensely like tears.
I wake up and start crying.
And it's weird because you would think that tears don't smell, but they do.
Well, when you have the diet,
they
I do.
All your sadness, in a way. Yeah.
They do.
So this poem is called Hydroplanes. And I wrote this when I was really kind of manic. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And... because, I mean, I heard that, was it JT?
J-Todd. I'm bipolar, yeah.
Yes, you were talking about your bipolar, and I'm bipolar too. So that's cool, in a way, I guess.
Just know that there is nothing, don't let that inhibit anything you do. That's just a...
Oh, I don't. I embrace it so much. I embrace my bipolarness. So this is called Hydroplanes. Here I stand in a dark, empty parking lot, sunken yet flying through my own pounding head. Tears and laughter bound off the ground, black as lead, then stop, frozen by hydroplaning thoughts, on and off they go. Drenched by cold and the urine from the snow, derailed from the pathway home, flying high but sinking fast, I react to the aftermath of hydroplaning thoughts and last summer's laughs as the wreckage of my scattered soul calls out from the farthest, most desolate hole. My body mends as the day returns, calming my most uneasy nerves, as back in the moment all seems to be free. No frozen, broken, yet carefree, hydroplaning thoughts attacking me. Enjoy.
Very well done, Jenny.
Yeah, very nice.
Thank you.
Awesome. And we're going to hear from you next week as well?
Hmm?
I said, are we going to hear from you next week as well?
I will be, because now I don't have anything to do next week, so yeah.
Awesome. You have a week to write some new stuff. It's National Poetry Month. Might as well just grab your muse and dance.
Dance!
Yeah, some music. Get some, actually, I prefer classical music.
Do you?
Because they say that makes your brain think, apparently.
Is there a particular composer or anything?
I prefer the violins.
Oh, okay.
Oh, then you're gonna like
any violinist.
You're going to like one of the poems I'm reading later.
And you know what?
I literally just got onto the reading whenever the second segment was being called in.
Okay.
So I'll have to go in the archives.
Well, no, I'm going to read one later that you'll like. It's about violins.
Okay, good. Awesome.
And
okay.
one thing
well, I'll let everybody else read.
Okay, Jenny, one second. All right, so Jenny, 1 second. Okay. I will recommend just, and for everybody else out there listening too, if you like violin music, if you haven't checked it out yet, just go find the film soundtrack to The Red Violinist by John Carigliano. Joshua Bell performs on it, and it's some of the most stellar violin music done in a long time. It's a bunch of different periods of music as well.
Okay, The Red Violins. Okay.
Red Violin soundtrack, yeah.
All right. I'm going to check that out later.
All right.
That was Jenny on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. Wow. All right. Wow. See, that's how it's supposed to work. You say the next evolution in Poetry Radio, and the plop happens. Not Holy Hand Grenade. Not Concrete Donkey.
Don't have that one ready.
Yeah, we don't have the Concrete Donkey ready.
Yeah, see, you don't just reach over and mash the keyboard. There's a particular key you're supposed to hit when you say World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
But you don't have a Concrete Donkey ready? Where is he? Out to pasture. He's out to pasture.
All right. Wow. We have lost all control. All right. Please welcome to the line from Tennessee. She is Miss Wizard Energy, yeah! Lady Anne.
Wait.
Please welcome to the line from...
I just said that.
No way.
Oh. Wait. I'm sorry.
Get on up.
Okay, wait.
Get up. Get on up.
Houston, we have a problem.
Scene.
Okay, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I've got reading something and I just was really under the spell of what I was reading. Okay, I'm back for the second half, and I want to read one addiction poetry tonight. This is one I wrote very recently. Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. By the way, that last caller, her poem was pretty cool.
I know. Jenny brought it tonight.
Yeah, that was pretty cool. Okay, the poem for the second half is called Under the Spell. Okay. Under the spell of authority, we react and behave accordingly. Precious not to jeopardize the risks. Handle like a challenge, sportingly. Knowing when consequences are unfavorable, disciplining society's will, conformingly. Under the spell of love, emotions dictate many decisions. Flowery, dizzy, dancy feelings, we embed with crude incisions. Behavior knows no bounds, becoming irrational, and broken hearts withdraw their positions. Under the spell of the dealer comes the illusion of best friend. We will act with strict obedience, every dollar continuously spend. When feeling sad, angry, or low, dealer sought out in the end. Under the spell of drugs, don't know up from down, hijacks the loving personality, leaves faces with but a frown, stealing over half our lives, burning the soul to the ground. Under the spell of recovery, we discover the naked self, learn to choose correctly, clearing the past from the shelf, rejoice in the newfound freedom, relive our faith as it is felt. Under the spell of family, once hurt with murdered trust, work to make serious amends, pray they forgive us enough, repair the relationship with the Lord, for complete recovery a must. Under the spell of sobriety, we live in daylight sunshine, get educated and learn to work. Reciprocal people now treat kind. One day contemplate and finally realize the world can all be mine. Question, what spell do you want to live under? Thank you.
I love that last line.
That was great.
Yeah.
Lady Anne, you rocked.
Thanks. I'm glad you liked that one. I just wrote that, so it's good to hear that I got some kind of good feedback. Well, anyway, you all have a wonderful second half. The first half, you had some really, really amazing poetry. I have to admit, I sat listening to like every word, and I sometimes, you know, you wander off, but no, it was really good. And thanks for letting me be on the show again.
Thank you, and we look forward to hearing from you next week as well.
Okay. Have a good night.
Good night. That was Lady Anne on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. And she didn't say it, so I'm gonna say hello, a special hello to Noodle Nut in England, who listens to our rebroadcast. We thank you for your support of our show as well. There are a lot of silent people that just tune in and listen. All of our listeners that don't participate in the poetry, I want to thank you all for joining us.
Now, Noodle Nut reminds me of pesto, like a pesto kind of pasta. Where you actually, have pine nuts.
Actually, I know her as Noodle Head on the Writer's Cafe, one of the poetry boards that I post on. But she calls her Noodle Nut, so I just wanted to use familiar terms.
Noodle Nut's a familiar term.
Yeah.
Well, I guess, hey, who am I to say?
It's a term of endearment.
Noodle Nut?
Yeah.
If we go out to dinner after this and I call the waitress Noodle Nut, you think that'll be in term of endearment?
Yeah.
I'm going to try it.
Only if the person accepts it.
Well, how would I know if they accept it until I give it to them?
All right.
I had a friend that was British, Robert Marlin. Mm. He'd call our waitress Mon Petit Chou, which he loosely translated as my little cabbage.
Hmm.
Kind of, it's a term of endearment when Penny's like, hey, you jerk. She's talking to me in a term of endearment.
Now, Chris here in the chat room is saying he thinks it's Noodle Bumble.
Noodle Bumble.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah? Okay. Anyway, Chris, okay. I've said it on the air.
There we go.
If that's it, that's it.
All right.
Whatever.
All right. So, from Lady Anne, we're going to go up to Connecticut. Please welcome, for her second time tonight, she is Barbara.
So, from Lady Anne, we're going to go up to Connecticut. Welcome, for her second time.
Barbara, are you there?
I'm here. Hey, I'm here. I'm
welcome
listening.
Back.
Hi, guys. This next poem I'm going to read to you is called, it's sad.
All right.
Hold on, I have to clear my throat. Okay. I don't want to bring the show down, but this was written, it's Day Four's poem, and it was written to the prompt departure, and, you know, anyway. Your departure. We knew you were going, yet we ignored all your preparations. How you cared no more for your favorite foods, or how you kept telling us we could stand on our own. We tried to fight the force of your ever-present anger at this unpleasant and unwanted and certainly untimely leaving, as you slowly each day became littler and weaker, and your limbs shrunk to the size of canes. Your spirit, undaunted, sent false denials as your hands trembled, and we watched as you were forced to succumb to machines to control your breath. Yet you stayed on, not wanting to take that final trip, even though last call was being sounded. And we took our goodbyes separately and together that last night, when we hoped you might stay for a while longer. And I fed you pudding and yogurt like a baby while you tried to smile and stay just a little longer with us. You sensed your leaving was soon and begged to go like a whining child. But your departure came without warning as they tried to keep you from going. But the doors had closed and you were on your way.
Nice poem. Good write. Strong write.
Yeah.
What did you say? It was?
It was a good write. A very emotive piece.
Yeah, this was about my husband and the last days of his life, which were horrible, horrible, horrible times in the ICU. And it evoked in me when they said departure, the only departure I could think of was his, you know?
Yeah.
And this has helped me so much to read on the air with you guys. just so wonderful. And, you know, I run over here on Friday nights, if I can, to hear you guys because you're so funny and so witty, and the poets here are so incredibly good, and I think each poem is better than the other, you know, the next. It's just, you know, I don't know how you, when I listen in the archives, if I can, it's just so incredibly good, you know, so whatever you're doing it great. So if you get any kind of negative stuff, which I heard that you're getting, just shake it off like Taylor Swift said. Shake it off.
Well, you know, Barbara, Taylor Swift is kind of my spirit animal, so I will definitely take that advice.
Absolutely. You know, I thought she was on the Fortune 500 as one of those people.
She's a pro all the way.
She
knows. I mean, when she there was a bunch. I was in the music industry, and right before she and Justin Bieber both were about to turn 18. A lot of people are saying, well, we'll really see what happens now once they're able to, they own their own money, now that they're in control of their own career, their parents aren't running it anymore. And it's interesting to see how Justin Bieber, while successful, has kind of gone off and kind of gone around and had some issues. Mm-hmm. She's gone on the straight and gotten more and more and more successful and is really owning everything she's doing. I give her a lot of credit.
Yeah, she's great. She's great. You can listen to her songs over and over again because they're so well crafted and they're so beautiful and whatever. But you guys, just, you know, it's so wonderful with everyone here and the camaraderie. It's just wonderful with poets to be together because, you know, we are alone most of the time writing our poetry. And like tonight, I wanted to share. I can't share my poems with my daughters because they don't even want to hear about, you know, my poetry or anything about it. So you're here, and it's great that I can read these poems to you.
Thank you, Barbara. And we always want to hear poetry, whether it's something uplifting, whether it's something inspiring, something depressing.
Well,
whatever you write, we're interested in.
I have lots of poems, all kinds, you know, funny and also, you know, not so sad and just, you know, political or whatever, but I seem to find the sad ones to read to you.
No, that's fine. You can share whatever you'd like on our show. Obviously, we've got a few rules that I didn't cover on our way in tonight, but that's all right. Thank you very much for sharing with us tonight.
Oh, you're welcome. I can't wait to hear the rest of the show, and I heard there's a Studio X tonight.
There is Studio X.
I don't know if I have any more of those kind of poems.
Oh, no. That's after dark.
That's after dark.
Studio X is where Mike gets to perform for everyone.
Oh, okay. The performing, Michael. Okay.
Yes.
Is he going to perform in his mermaid costume?
He is.
I don't have a choice, Barbara. It's not coming off.
And he's going to be doing a cover of the song from the TV show Flipper.
Well, see, and I've been having an issue. I'm even going to do the dolphin sound effects. But the thing is, you know, I was really worried because I really had to go to the bathroom and I couldn't get the tail off. But I don't think that's really going to be a problem.
Not anymore.
Not anymore.
Okay, guys. I can't wait to hear that.
All right.
Thank you, Barbara. Okay. That was Barbara on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio.
It's really strange when you move your tail around and the sound of sloshing comes from inside the tail.
Yeah.
Just wait until we throw you into the pool.
Oh, my God. Actually, I'll swim like a...
See?
Barbara hit on something about poets spending all the time alone and writing and everything. Mm-hmm. I was at work, and somebody said something that could be taken multiple different ways. So I took what they said, merely reframed it to where they could realize the hilarity in what they actually said. And they're like, oh, you're dirty money. I'm like, hey, I'm merely the poet and reporter. I did not say those words. So I ended up in another disciplinary meeting, but that's all right. In fact, I've got to say, they actually booked me out. I'm supposed to work 8 hours. They book out 2 hours for disciplinary meetings as part of my pay each day.
So nice of them.
It's like you do work, you have lunch, you have some breaks, and 50 lashings before you go home.
Pretty much. My boss is very cool. He's gotten into new forms of torture, and I'm just kidding. All right, so we have more poets. Please welcome from Arizona. He is Joshua. Hey, welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Doing good. We haven't heard from you in a while.
I know. It's been a while. I had a little bit of writer's block, and then I came out with a piece, and I just haven't had time to call in and, perform it.
Okay, well, we're looking forward to
it. For sure. Just whenever I'm ready, I take it.
Correct. What's the title of the piece?
The title of the piece is I Am.
Okay, and just to remind you, we are still in the PG-13 segment, because I know you've read a couple that were a little more raw.
Yeah, no, this one's, the language is clean, there's no cursing, you know, it's definitely PG-13.
Excellent.
The worst thing is, you know, identification as, like, an alcoholic and a drug addict, and that's the most I say.
No, we do that all the time here. That's great. Thank you, Joshua, for being mindful of our rules.
Of course.
And you can go at any time.
Okay. My name is Josh, and I am. I can tell you what that means if you want to know. I can tell you a story if you wish to listen. And I can tell you the end before the beginning. But instead, I'm going to tell you my name is Josh, and I am human. I live on this earth. I breathe air. I eat, drink water to survive, to refresh my mind and body. And much like you, also lead a life full of dreams, hopes, aspirations, and so much more that seems typical at first glance. But if you look a little deeper, you might just see that my name is Josh and I'm socially awkward. I go to the beat of my own drum, use words from before my time, can seem off to say the least. You know, I laugh at the wrong moments, your sarcasm probably goes over my head. I don't make eye contact and I hate small talk, you know what I mean? I probably make the wrong jokes to the wrong people. You know, there's a lot more, but basically, I'm a guy that's a little different. Maybe even weird or misunderstood. Does that sound like your typical cliche? Well, don't forget, my name is Josh, and I'm an actor. I've been on stage since first grade. That's something I claim as my trade, but also my hobby and passion. I can use it to touch your soul, make you smile, laugh, cry, relate, but mainly to gain your trust, and to use you in any way I see fit. I can give you the illusion of control, but be careful, because everything is dependent on the fact that my name is Josh and I'm intelligent. I'll show you why that is. Use it to convince you that I know more than you, I know better than you, I can outsmart you. Also, I can belittle you, shame you, and ridicule you in an effort to manipulate you. And the reason I can do that is because you forget my name is Josh and I'm an alcoholic and a drug addict. I appear seemingly innocent and extremely cunning at the same time, doing anything I can do to get ahead, because I come first. It's all about me. I care about me. I have no loyalty or sense of morals. I'll use you, I'll lie to you, I'll hurt you, I'll lose you, and I'll lose everything I care about. This is even myself saying I'm okay until I'm miserable, and I realize my name is Josh and I'm sick. You know, mentally ill, physically weak, and spiritually broken. Wishing I won't wake up. Wanting it to end. Living this life that seems like a nightmare, so horrible that I get to a point where I hate who I've become and I lost all hope until someone reaches out and they tell me my name is Josh and I'm not a bad person. That my intentions may seem good. That I can change and there is a way out and I don't have to suffer and I don't have to sit in darkness and I don't have to live like that anymore because I'm not alone. And if I ever think I am, just to remember, my name is Josh and I am love. People see me with worth, as that human in a light unknown to me. And it doesn't matter whether I see it or not. Even if I feel alone, when it seems no one cares, I have friends. I have family. I'll make it through because my name is Josh and I'm alive. I'm living life. I've been given another chance, something I thought wasn't possible. The newfound ability to enjoy the world around me and see myself growing as a person and learning to accept that my name is Josh, and I am. That's it. You can fill in the blank with whatever you think fits. But the fact is that no matter the circumstance, at the end of the day, I am. Everything is subject to change. From my perception to your own, nothing with me is absolute. I just am. Thank you, guys.
Josh, I just want to reiterate, thank you for being part of our family. And a line in your poem struck a chord with me that you said you're a little bit different, you're pressed off center. And that's just how we like them in our family. So thank you.
Of course. Thanks, man. It was a pleasure calling in. I'll try to definitely make it a little more regular now. Okay?
Awesome. Thank you, Josh.
Of course. You have a good night. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That was Josh on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in poetry radio. Right on. Great poem.
It was a good piece.
Yeah.
Yeah. I am. You are. He is. She is.
Who's on first?
Come together.
Who is on first?
Right now. Over me.
He followed. Why weren't you on the same Beatles page as us?
Because I was doing Who's on First.
You know what's interesting, though, is Beatles, I'm ashamed to say that just not long ago, it occurred to me for the first time at 34 years old, might have been 33, 34 years old, that the Beatles, the way it was spelled, is a pun. It had not occurred to me this entire time that it was a pun until this last year.
Yes. All right. So we're going to go from Josh in Arizona all the way up to the poet, unofficial poetry state. He is here for a second time. Please welcome Chris. Hey, brother.
Control. Right. Yeah. The scent of bacon permeates my mind. And then pineapple. Pineapple?
I know, that's a terrible one.
Safe words.
Mm-hmm.
Ramen maple soup. Okay.
Well, you'll hear that a lot less often than you'll hear pineapple.
Pineapple! I'm saying it now.
I've known people to have a notebook on the nightstand next to their bed so they can write down their dreams and try to analyze them. Till they get them right, I guess. Well, you know how it is. Dreams. Moments beyond innocence. Where God... Yeah, God is a vessel. And gin are real. And it's personal. And there's nothing you can't do or win or be till you awake. And you can fly and feel the wind flowing, touch the clouds, look down on mountains and all the thrums there never were. And all the hurts you ever had. And smile. Damn, you can smile. And then thunders begin. And turbulence starts to toss you. Damn, you get tired. You begin to drop. And it's so far and faster. And faster and faster you fall. 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 To all that's left. And all you see is a taste beyond dark. Footsteps. I hear them. Near. You can't see the who. You never see the who, yet somehow, no, they're mine, they're yours. Shadows float and form images, teasing, reaching, familiar yet not quite what I think I see. Clove, that scent above all others, subtle, pervading, releasing the sweetness of memory and how dreams were before. An open window beckoning, drawing, till looking through I see all that isn't me or mine or meant to be, but could have been all the mites. The words and the R's. Violet trees, I wish they were birds bathed in brown sunlight. A cacophony of silence mixing the sound to all around it swirls. and twirls into the color of faces. The sheen of the eyes, unseeing yet staring, beyond to other me's and places where even memories lie. Safe words, right. I like my nightmares, for they're true and mine and earned and treasured. Their taste is my life. A rhapsody of all I've known. Catch you next week.
I love that.
Yeah.
That was great.
Heck yes. Chris, masterfully done again.
Thanks, guys. And it's been a heck of a show. You guys took it to some strange places.
We sure
we
did.
We always do, don't we?
Well... Okay.
Yeah. He's not going to argue them.
Sorry, I don't blame him.
Anyway.
Hey, thanks a lot, Chris.
I appreciate you guys. And you've had some really good people on tonight. They were fun.
Man, they sure are.
Good to listen to. And I look forward to the next time. Take care, guys.
You too.
That was Chris on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio.
Man.
And we've got two more callers left.
And then it's Studio X time.
Well, we got a couple things we got to do.
Well, I mean, after the...
I know you're excited.
I am excited.
I'm excited, too.
I got this guitar here in my hands right now.
I'm looking forward to that flipper remake.
Mm-hmm.
I like flipper music.
It's kind of like I've been working on that... I can't do the squeak, though.
It's hard.
I'm a little concerned.
It's really, really high.
Yeah, I know. Can I just pretend I'm doing it and no one can hear it?
Well, doesn't Stahl 17 in Studio X have a helium tank?
Oh, my God. I could do the whole thing on helium.
There you go.
I don't know. I think my tank might be empty. I had a party. I'm sorry.
All right.
I could do an oven and chipmunk segment sometime with that.
You could.
You could.
You'd have to just hold the balloon so I could randomly sing it.
There you go. All right. So from Michigan, we're going to go back down south, this time to the Lone Star State. Please welcome to the line, Mariah.
Hey.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, hey, hey.
No. Oh.
Oh, I'm getting tired.
Are you? You're going to want to listen to Studio X. I'm just telling you.
Yeah, you're going to want to listen to Studio X.
You need to listen to Studio X.
Yes.
You know, what did Yoda say, Mariah?
There is no try.
There is only do.
There is only do.
I'm just waiting for that.
Young I was, needed just the money I did.
Oh, my gosh. That takes Yoda to a totally different light.
You're welcome.
He wasn't born green, you know.
Oh, gosh. Hey, Mariah, do you have any poetry to save us?
Maybe.
Good.
She's like, is it coming anytime soon, please?
Do I have time to make a sandwich?
Because being cooped up with these guys for this long is insanity all on its own.
Yes, that is true. That is true.
Enjoy it. It's one of the greatest muses.
It is. It is.
All right. I actually just finished this one a few hours ago. And, it's a small collection of vignettes based on the dark colors of the rainbow. For anyone who doesn't know, what the colors on the rainbow, you know, what they actually stand for, red, rage, aggression, brutality, orange, danger, hostility, belligerent, yellow is deception, selfishness, poisonous, green is jealousy, envy, greed, blue is detachment, passivity, and depression,
indigo is arrogance, weakness, feebleness. And then violet is introversion, vanity, and pride. So I have a collection of 7 vignettes based on those colors.
Okay.
And the emotions. So. Vignettes of Stolen Years. One. My innocence bore marks of bloody-eyed beasts as they gnawed on the skeletal remains of my childhood. Radioactivity haunted my dreams, but the hazmat suit itched, and I thought the warning signs were for those who didn't want to be special. 3. You painted stained glass window shades and hid behind the misconceptions, tainted memories and perceptions of what it felt like to be loved. 4. You made me think I was special, but it was years before I realized how many lies you told in your silence. 5. Tomorrows were run-ons of continuous yesterdays, kept me trapped in a past I could only fight with sharp-edged steel and secrets. 6. Cancer and old age never seemed to slow you down, but something took away your voice when all I needed was I'm sorry. 7. I shared a secret I was never told to keep, but still hid it inside stained glass rooms until walls finally shattered perceptions of you. And boom.
Wow. Wow. Strong, strong piece.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, my past has definitely made me who I am today and influences my writing greatly. And even though, well, I did go through some abuse and stuff and things that I wouldn't wish on anybody, I wouldn't change it for anything because I don't want to be anyone else.
Yeah. Very cool, Mariah. I'm sorry you went through that, but very cool that you've come to grips with it and understand that your past is behind you and you craft the road ahead of you.
The only way you can move is forward.
Exactly. That's right. Now go on like a steamroller and lay that road. Michael goes,
let the record show. I've just got my eyes closed and I'm shaking my head right now.
It's like working with... Well, it's kind of like working with Pee Wee Herman, really.
It's, you know what it is? It's like a joke that's perpetually never really realized. It's like a train going in a tunnel and then going back out again and going back into the tunnel again. It's like the joke's never quite done.
Like the song,
you know what? That works on like 5 levels, guys, so you can thank me when I get a standing ovation at 3 in the morning. Thank you. Thank you, JT. Thank you very much.
God help me.
Well,
hey, Mariah, thank you so much for that.
Yep, thank you for letting me share. No. We definitely all do appreciate what you guys do.
Thank you.
It is a very healing process.
Awesome. So we'll talk to you next week?
Of course.
Awesome. That was Mariah and World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution in Poetry Radio. Now, we have a new caller. We also have a new caller that wins the Endurance Award for hanging online as long as she has. Please welcome, from Oklahoma, she is Marianne. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Hey, you're going to want to turn down your listening device. You're on the air now.
Well, I was on a different... Okay.
See, I told you there was going to be a delay.
You were on a different show, weren't you? That was your saying. You're cheating on us.
I did. No, I was lost. I was reading my other one.
Marianne, it's okay. You were lost, but now you are found. You are found. What can you
show us? I'm sorry. Forgive me.
No, okay. That's fine.
You're fine.
That'll be 10. You're fine.
I have like 60. I'm going through here, and I'm trying to pick which one I want to read.
Oh, no.
You know what? You pick a few, because I want you to call back next week as well, okay?
I will.
But what's the one you want to share with us tonight?
I think today I'm gonna read, because of some of the sad ones that I've heard, is one that I wrote for my ex-husband.
Okay.
That's a mischievous laugh.
I don't title any of my poems, so they don't have names. So
can I give it a title before you start? Because you said it's for your ex-husband, right?
Okay.
This poem is entitled "I Wish I Was a Widow." There you go.
Whoa. Okay.
It is. Why, God? Why do I let you bait me still? How is it after all this time? You know exactly what to say to push my buttons almost every day and toss me off the deep end. I do not want to be emotionally dependent on you anymore. I do not want to let you anger me so quickly anymore. I want to be my own person. I want to be strong for my children. I want to stay clean and sober evermore. I like being clear-headed. That's it.
I like being clear-headed, too.
You know, after...
Mine are short. But they're deep.
Yes. I like that piece, though.
But I've had fun listening. I sure have.
Hey, thank you so much, and please call us back next week. Please tune in again, and please let some friends know. We love it when other people can call and share also.
Correct, and I do have a question. We ask this of all our callers. How did you hear about our show?
I was invited by Underhill.
Oh, that would be me.
Yes.
Thank you for joining us.
All right, then. It was a pleasure.
Awesome, and we'll hear from you next week.
I'll be back.
Awesome.
You want to really freak people out? Say that the first time you walk in a room.
I know.
Be like, what? That's not how the language is used. And there's something going on. I don't understand.
They will. They'll figure it out eventually.
Eventually. Yeah, I just don't listen to her. Uh-huh. All right. Hey, have a great night. Thank you.
All right. You guys too.
That was Marianne on World Poetry Open Mic, the next evolution of Poetry Radio. Or better yet, you can use you can walk in a room that you've never met anybody before and go, I have returned.
All right, you jerks, I'm back.
You'll be like,
and there's hell to pay this time.
I do that all the time. Yeah. A business I've never been in, I'll be like, God, it's great to be back here. They're going to be like...
Or then you turn around and just yell at the door,
Watson, bring me my brown pants! Okay, anyway.
I got a story about that, but we'll share it after the show.
I don't think that's appropriate for the air, my friend.
No, it's not. All right, so, hey, you know, I'm looking at the order, and I guess I'm supposed to be reading
the you're up, buddy.
Soon.
Mm-hmm.
Now batting, I've got a tablet in my hand, and I'm trying to get over to the right area.
Now batting.
Number 33.
Number 33. Pedro, Barbo, oh wait, no, sorry.
Jay Todd, Underhill.
All right.
Hill.
So, I promised this one earlier. The prompt for the contest on day 7 for me was violin music, the person wanted.
Yes.
So, in an instant, I began writing this, and I had no clue where it was going until about halfway through, and then I was like, oh, hey, that's how it's going to end. This is entitled Angelic Refrain. The concert hall was closed. This must be understood full and well. But there was still music being composed. That is the tale that I now tell. One in the morning and all alone, I was doing my night watch duties. The lights on the stage softly shone on one of heaven's angelic beauties. She played her heart out in every note, every so often wiping away a tear. Love embedded within the song she wrote, that was apparently clear. Lost love played out in 4/4 times, sliding the bow over the violin strings. In the song I found my own lonely rhyme, a mutual song every human sings. She wipes a tear and then finishes her song and unceremoniously walks off stage. There was no applause. It did not belong. This was not a performance for cheers or wage. Left there unnoticed and alone in my thoughts, I was so moved that I could not even speak. The private concert left my heart tied in knots, and I slowly wipe a tear from my own cheek.
Wow.
Yeah. Man. Dead last in that contest, but that's all right.
Dead last.
Yeah.
That's okay.
I was the fleetle bomb of that one.
You say, well, you got to be first. Think of it this way. You were first in last place.
If you ain't first, you last.
Right?
Brainchild. I could be first and last place in the Olympics.
We're not going to go down there. Oh, road.
Okay.
Let's just leave that.
So, all right. Do you have a submission?
I do. This is actually awesome. I went back, to grab something we hadn't done before, and I realized that Steve Jenka had actually submitted something before we hadn't done. And he, in the same email he sent the one before, he sent a sequel. So this is the actual first one he has sent before. It's a new one called Crazy Otto. And this is from USAF Patrol Dog School, 1970. Otto was my first dog in Texas. He was an old sentry dog and very restless. The Air Force wanted him to change from sentry to patrol dog in spite of his age. Obedience, voice commands, attacking, obstacle course, hand gestures, and tracking. Doing them all off leash was another story. His restlessness and age was a source of worry. He got so he could do it on a long leash for me, but each time I unhooked him, he knew he was free. When free, he had a mind of his own. The more I yelled, the farther he'd roam. Dog loose, I yelled quite frequently. Otto could get set back, Otto and me. Evaluation day had at last come. Would Otto obey or simply run? Halfway around the obstacle course, he was great. But across the bridge, he ran and didn't wait. Off he went toward the reviewing stand. Looks like he's going to attack that officer, the man. As he leaps at him, the sergeant nearby, I'm thinking of my score and start to sigh. The sergeant always had a hot cup of coffee in his hand. He hardly ever drank it. This day I learned why. Just before Otto reached the officer, he got hit in the face with that hot coffee. Otto gave the best body block by a dog on an officer I ever saw then and since then. They both hit the ground and Otto took off. Loose dog! Loose dog! The troop informed me once more. For Otto, the sentry dog, could not be reformed. That's from Steve Jenke in New Jersey. It's from Poems of a Soldier, Exilbris. And that's actually on Amazon. We're going to post a link on our Facebook page for anybody who wants to check out his book.
Oh, so we did get a link on it.
We did.
Yes. Nice. Thank you, Steve. That was awesome. Oh, yes.
So we have someone really special.
A special Steve.
A special person who is actually on our crew here, who occasionally he gets up in the morning, meditates for a couple hours, drinks some Purlong tea, then he makes waffles with bacon inside,
really?
Eats it, and then his daughter, he sends her to bed with nothing but dessert. And that's what makes him a haiku master. Come on, be one.
I want to be his daughter. I want to go to bed with nothing but dessert.
You know what? You're a grown man. I think you could do that yourself if you wanted to.
I am married. No, I can't do that by myself.
Wow, you make it sound so appetizing. Why am I married? Why am I not married yet?
There you go.
Oh. So I have three haikus.
Okay. Which right. each are?
themed.
Themed. So there's one overall theme?
Yes.
Okay. But if you know what it is, because you don't say it directly.
No.
So if you think you know what it is, put it in our chat room, put it on our Facebook page. Tell us what you think.
All right.
Send it by carrier pigeon, however you want to get it to
us. Yeah, the carrier pigeon would be interesting. But
J-Tut will eat them. They're called rock pigeons.
True. All right. Ready?
Yeah.
Silver, gray, and white. It eludes the best of us. Experienced life.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
Number two. A longer life lived. Science is our magic. True fountain of youth.
Okay.
Number three. Manipulated. An almanac taken back. Measured with clockwork.
All right, so if you know what it is, you're going to want to go ahead and hit our Facebook page. You can use the chat room that Michael's in right now, or you can use smoke signals, and we will go outside and see if we can find them.
You know, it's the interesting thing is I actually know what it is that you're talking about. I actually sincerely actually know what it is, and I think that you referencing the Christmas Carol is kind of weird at this time of year.
I do my best.
Okay, just kidding. It's not the Christmas Carol.
No.
All right. So
it begins with now I'll let someone else.
No. And you know what? We're just going to leave that out there because that's why he is the haiku master.
Master.
500 comedians out of work, and he's writing haikus.
Hi-ya!
You know, none of us are comedians.
That's true.
Because comedians are funny.
Yeah.
And they get paid for it.
They get paid for that stuff.
Yeah. You know. We'd elevate our game a little bit if we got paid. No, just kidding.
I'd actually start caring about jokes.
Oh, J-Tot, you've got another one?
I do. I have one last one for all the right. evening. This is from day four of National Poetry Month. This is in a poem about inspiration. This is entitled Free Your Mind. And it's a sonnet. You should free your mind from the wicked constraint. Unleash the artist that is held within. If it is poetry, sculpting, or paint, beyond denying, because denying your muse is a sin. Each artist prompting you should set free. I'm going to get a redo on that. Can I get a redo on that? Okay, we're going to start over again. Free your mind. You should free your mind from wicked constraint. Unleash the artist that is held within. If it is poetry, sculpting, or paint, because denying your muse is a sin. Each artistic prompting you should set free, enjoy the power within creation, and set your work forth for the world to see, for art is life and perpetuation. Proliferate art however you choose, for it makes the world such a better place, and dedicate your life unto your muse, for it is a lover well worth the chase. For when you shed the shackles in your mind, your inner artist is what you will find.
Nice.
And let the record show, after 2 years of doing this show, that I finally took a poetic mulligan.
Finally.
Oh.
Finally.
Finally.
We've been waiting, my friend.
And the Hasquatch looking to be like, can I get a mulligan on the last 2 years? No.
What happened with my life?
2 years over again.
That's a great thing to say when you walk in a door. Just walk in, yell mulligan, walk out, and walk back in. Nice. You know what?
That would be cool.
I think I'm going to try that at the gym next week.
Mulligan!
Wait till you drop something or something, like, I don't know, like a weight you're lifting, or like mulligan, and you pick it up and do it again.
Well, I actually, you know, I could do that because I picked up this thing from, so J. Todd, way back in the day, we used to perform, and every single time someone would drop a cup, like a server in the back, he would, every single time, would yell, job opening! And so it was one of these things that would be great as we'd be performing. He'd have all these little things he would yell. Job opening, he would yell, I want your love child!
Yeah.
And a bunch of other things.
I'd tighten my voice to where I tried to sound like a girl. One time, I didn't even try to disguise my voice. I'm like, he was tired. I want your love child. And literally, like, every head turned like...
I would say any performer here, you want J. Todd in your audience. It's hilarious. It's a great experience.
That's because I'm bipolar and I have no censor at all.
No.
All right. I'm going to do one thing because they're asking for a few hints about the haiku here. I'm just going to throw this out. Just a hint.
I don't even know what it is.
Scorsese.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. It was a movie by Scorsese that involves clocks.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right.
All right. So there you go. It's come out in the last 10 years.
Yes.
Okay. So, shall we go to Studio X, gentlemen?
I think so.
I'll put on my mustache and we'll get in the cart.
Yes.
All right.
I will put on my big brimmed hat and my pipe filled with bubbles.
All right. Glad to know we're going to be classy this time.
All the way.
To Studio X!
Woohoo!
Ooh, that was fast, man. Dude, that pipe's awesome. It's like a steampunk bubble pipe. JT, seriously, man.
What?
You held that for 2 hours. You couldn't make it 24 minutes?
I couldn't. Oh, I'm sorry.
Somebody get an air freshener.
You're one to talk.
I am the air freshener, my friend.
Ooh.
All right. So, Michael, how many do you have?
Two.
Two.
I have dos.
Dos.
Yeah.
Dos songos. I don't know what.
Dos. Yes. Dos songos. Yes. That's exactly what it is.
Wow. You make New Jersey hate us. I make mythological creatures hate us.
And now South America.
Yeah, all South America hates us.
I am so sorry. It just came out.
It's okay. So here we go. Let's just see if people know what this is. This is dedicated to a listener of ours. Way out west, they have a name for rain and wind and fire. The rain is Tess and the fire's Joe, and they call the wind Mariah. Mariah blows the stars around and sets the clouds a-flying. Mariah makes the mountain sound like folks was out there dying. Mariah, Mariah, they call the wind Mariah. Mariah. Let me start that over again. Mulligan! Before I knew Mariah's name or heard her wailing whining, I had a gal and she had me, and the sun was always shining. And then one day I left that gal, I left her far behind me, and now I'm lost, so darn lost, that not even God can find me. Mariah, Mariah, they call the wind Mariah. Mariah, Mariah, they call the wind Mariah. They call the wind Mariah. There's one. All right. I've been threatening to do that one for a while.
Are you going to do the interlude piece?
The interlude piece.
The one you said we were going to do is a...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Just, yeah. J. Todd, this is by special request from you. It's a beautiful piece. So we get tuned here. All right. Just trying another song here.
No, right? I know. Right. That's...
It's a little bit funny, this feeling inside. I'm not one of those who can easily high. I don't have much money, but if I did, I'd buy a big house where we both could live. If I was a sculptor, but then again, no. A man who makes potions in a traveling show. I know it's not much, but it's the best I can do. My gift is my song, and this one's for you. And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is that you're in the world. 1, 2, 3. I sat on the roof, I kicked at the moss. The verses, well, they got me quite cross, but the sun's been quite kind. Well, I wrote this song to people like you that keep it turned on. So excuse me forgetting, but these things I do, you see, I've forgotten if they're green or the blue. Well, anyway, the thing is, what I really mean, yours aren't the sweetest eyes I've ever seen. And you can tell everybody this is your song. It may be quite simple, but now that it's done, I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is when you're in the world. I hope you don't mind, I hope you don't mind that I put down in words how wonderful life is while you're in the world. Thank you.
Very well done.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Whoa. How many times have you played that song in your life?
Never.
Well, once, now.
Well, now, yeah, but that's about it.
And what about Mariah?
I played it years ago with the Flying W. But,
okay.
They actually did that because when you were playing, I was like, God, that would be like a great Flying W Wranglers tune.
Yeah, it's totally what it was. But you get a little bit of that rockabilly.
Oh, yeah.
Because okay. I could do it like... But probably not.
Probably not. I liked coming down to the ranch and seeing you perform with the Wranglers. It was a kick in the pants.
It was a good time, man. It was great musicians and just a lot of fun.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, thank you for listening, guys.
Yeah, thank you guys for tuning in. I'm J. Todd Underhill from Michael Amade and the Half Squatch JT. We want to urge you to tune in next week. Tell your friends about us. And we want to say good night. Good night, Robert Mordlin, wherever you're at.